Hello and welcome to H-Town Rewind. This is Josh.
And this is David.
And we are history teachers in Houston, and this is our history podcast about the history of Houston.
All things Houston.
And how do we define that, David?
Well, what area are we talking about, Josh?
Whatever we want, really.
Sugarland?
Sugarland, absolutely.
Beaumont?
Ooh, it's pushing it, but I can make an argument.
All right. Mo City?
Mostly, absolutely, Mo City.
Galena Park?
We can get there. Dallas?
No.
Okay.
Never Dallas. Right,
we're good then.
Thank you.
All right. And today's episode, and I'm going to let my friend David here take the lead because I literally moved to town
Wait. Hang on. We have an email address. We've got stuff.
I was going to do that at the end.
You want to do that at the end?
I was going to do that at the end. HTownRewind@gmail.com.
No.
No hyphen.
Okay. So what are we going to talk about today, Josh?
We're going to talk about the history of not the Astrodome.
No.
But Astroworld.
Astroworld.
Houston's most iconic amusement park?
I would say, yeah, it's most iconic theme park, amusement park, whatever you like to call it, yeah.
Only one?
Well, we'll get into that later. There was a thing in spring, but we don't talk about that. There was another water park in spring. But that's not what we're talking about today, my friend. Today, we are talking about the Astro Domain. The Astro Domain is the complex in 1968 that Judge Roy Hofhinds developed. You have the Astrodome, you have Astro Hall, you have Astro World, you've got a 500 spot available RV park. Honestly, I've actually been to Astro Hall before they closed down. There was a baseball card show there. My mom took me, so I literally have hit all the parts of the Astro Domain. But today we're going to talk about the Astro World.
So I am unfortunate in that I moved to town literally a year after it closed.
Not your fault.
But I know many wonderful people, including you, including my wife, who have great stories about Astroworld. Do you want to talk about the origins of Astroworld?
Well, no, I don't. I don't want to talk about history.
Not on the history podcast?
Yeah. Okay, so fair. Astroworld is Astro Domain is, because if we're in 1968, we really have to use the term Astro Domain because it's all encompassing. For those not familiar with the geography of Houston, there's downtown. And then there's a big loop around it, and there's another big loop around that, and there's another bigger loop around that. So that first loop, we call the 610 loop here in Houston. The southern part of that would be the Astro Domain. This is where Astrodome is going to be built. Astrodome will house the Houston Astros. But here's the thing. How do you pay for the Astrodome? How can we pay for the Astrodome?
Taxpayer money?
One would think, but no, not so much. This is why we have Astroworld. Astroworld was created to pay for the Astrodome and the Astro Domain, so to speak. It was supposed to be Disney. It was supposed to be Disney, but not Disney, and hotter. Because this is before Disney World, or this is before Disney World. There is only Disneyland at
Disneyland. Yes.
Yeah, in California. So there's one major theme park in California on the West Coast. So the thinking was, let's recreate that experience, but a little bit more centrally located in Houston.
And are they going to go with a explicitly Texas theme for this?
There are going to be Texas themes, but it's easier for me to talk about the history of Astroworld if I break things down into phases.
You said three phases off, Mike.
Three phases. So the first phase is where we're going to start off, clearly. Would be 1968 to 1976, and this is the Hofhinds era of Astroworld. So Josh, if I ask you, do you like 60s camp?
I love it.
You would be a kid at Christmas in a toy store at Astroworld in from 68 to 76. It was shows. It was musicals. It was parades. There were a few rides. The fastest ride went 10 miles an hour, and it was the train, the 610 Park train. There was the Swamp Thing ride that was high. I don't remember the numbers on top of my head, but it basically went 3 to 4 miles an hour. And if you were over 6 feet tall, you're probably going to get whiplash because this is 1968 and the technology is just not there yet.
Are you saying John Waters would have made a great movie set at Astroworld?
I think John Waters in another life might have been born at that Astroworld between 68 and 76. And that's 1968, 1976 for all of our younger fans listening, thinking I'm talking about
Don't Google John Waters, younger fans.
there's literally, there was a mod circus. Not a modern circus, a mod circus. Mod is a shortened term in the 60s for modern. Culture is going to change. How is it going to change? It's going to become modern. So we had a mod circus at Astroworld. We had parades every day at noon when it opened up. Tickets to the park. Tickets to the park were $4.50 for an adult and $3.50 for a child in 1968 dollars.
That's a little expensive.
It seems a little expensive, but also I remember at the end it was $60 for a season pass.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to the end.
Yeah, more on that at the end. More on that in a bit. But yeah, that's the 1968 to 1976 phase. They're going to sell out. Hoff Heinz is going to sell the park to Six Flags in end of 75 for the 1976 season. But I mean, literally, if you can think fantastical experience, that would be Astroworld from 68 to 76. For me, anyway.
And it was all, like you said, founded to support the Astrodome.
To support the Astrodome. Judge Roy Hoff Heinz is a huge name in Houston history. At this point, he owns the Astroworld, he owns the Astrodome, he owns the Houston Astros, and the Astrodomain.
Former mayor of Houston as well.
Former mayor of Houston. I'm pretty sure it's Judge was an honorary position he was given.
Like a colonel?
Like Colonel Sanders.
You owe me a Coke.
All right. No, he was a Texas state representative at 22. I mean, just a remarkable life, Roy Hoff Heinz, and a very, very, very much a snapshot of the time. If you look at Roy Hoff Heinz, read up a little bit about him, you'll see what I mean. I mean, he looks like the angry school principal.
He looks like he's in Mad Men a little bit.
This is the Mad Men era. He should have been in Mad Men.
I have a picture of him here in a wheelchair smoking a cigar.
Yes, that's Judge Roy Hoff Heinz. Died at 70 years old in 1982. And literally a lot of the culture that we talk about today that we take for granted comes from his era. So he is going to sell in 1975 to Six Flags. Now, Six Flags is not Six Flags that you're thinking of. Six Flags had three parks in total in the United States. One in Georgia, one in Minnesota, St. Louis.
I've been to the one in Atlanta when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I have a bad memory of it.
Okay.
It's no Dollywood.
Well, you got yelled at, I think.
Yeah, some lady, we were waiting in line, and she yelled at me for, like, scuffling my feet or something.
Which is frowned upon in Six Flags.
It's the only thing I remember. I was probably, like, 5 or 6 years old.
that's a bad trip for a kid.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember is getting yelled at by an adult for being a kid.
Yeah.
All right. So, Six Flags buys Astroworld, and it is going to take off.
Now, before we move to phase two here, David, can we just talk about the economics of how this thing is working as far as, is it making money?
No, it's not. It's not making money. There's a few things that the judge had in mind when he built the park. Sorry, I'm flipping through my notes here.
Absolutely.
The judge had some interesting ideas for what he wanted his outdoor Disney park to be, including outdoor air conditioning. And 4 miles of plastic tubing just to air con an outdoor park.
And we're not talking just like big fans.
No, we're not talking about swamp fans. We're not talking about big fans. We're talking about AC air con being pumped through the park, which I'm sure isn't cheap. So the entire thing, well, ask yourself, like, what price do you put on imagination? Because literally, what price do you put on Judge Roy Hoff Heinz's imagination? The sky was the limit. And more on that in a bit, because it's going to come bite us in the backside. So we're in 1976. It's the bicentennial. Everything is hopping. I call the 76 to 80, 1986 phase the salad days. Mm-hmm. Like, this to me is the golden era of Astroworld. It's not financially solvent, but at the same time, all of the cool things are starting to happen. Also, I turned 10 years old in 1986, so that might have something to do with it. If you do the math there, you figure out how old I am now. But this isn't math class. 1976 to 1986, we're going to see some changes. There was a very popular early roller coaster called Dexter Freebish that is going to become the new ride that I love to this day called Excalibur. This is the period of Astroworld history, where Astroworld stops being a local cultural phenom and becomes a roller coaster park. And this was huge in the 70s. We start seeing theme parks and roller coasters showing up everywhere. Mm-hmm. This period, 76 to 86, we're going to see the introduction of Grease Lightning, which, Josh, you saw a video of Grease Lightning. What did you think?
It looked rickety.
that was all metal. We have the Texas Cyclone, which was a direct copy of Coney Island Cyclone ride. Hoffman's tried to buy it and have it shipped here. Coney Island was like, well, no, that's kind of ours, and it's an international global draw. So they just replicated. They literally just replicated the Coney Island Cyclone, renamed it the Texas Cyclone.
You can't copyright a roller coaster.
You can't copyright fun.
Yeah.
Also, fans of Astroworld are going to remember Thunder River is going to make its entrance in this period as well. Thunder River, where you and I think there's eight people total, and basically a giant life raft. And
yeah.
You go through the rapids, and you get bumped on the walls, and you get splashed with water, and it was so much fun.
Busch Gardens of Tampa has one. Dollywood has one. They're fun.
It's a staple. Like, if you have a theme park and it doesn't have this, you're doing it wrong.
Like a flume ride. I love
a theme park. Like a flume ride.
I love me a flume ride.
Schlitterbahn's calling, my friend. But also in this period from 76 to 86, you're going to have the oil crisis, which, you know what? We should legit do an episode on the oil crisis in Houston. We're oil and gas. How did the oil crisis... more on that for another time. So, as I ran across an interesting advert in Dallas for Astroworld. I'm sorry?
Sadly.
Well, they can read in Dallas. At least we know they can read in Dallas.
Some of them can.
So we're going to get so much hate for that from all four of our fans.
Engagement is engagement.
There was an advert that said Astroworld, only 18 gallons away. There was talk in Houston of closing gas stations down on the weekends, and 90% of Astroworld's business at that time came from people that drove there.
Yeah.
So... to say that everything hit a speed bump due to the oil crisis and transportation would be an understatement, but it did affect Astroworld. So, the geniuses in advertising, which they are, bring Oktoberfest to Houston.
Ooh.
Ooh, indeed.
September in Houston. Great time to be outside.
Well, there's something else that came along with Oktoberfest, other than the sausages and the brats and the schnitzels.
And the Lederhosen.
I didn't know if I could say Lederhosen.
I'd give it a shot.
They have beer.
Finally.
Yeah. We now see, 15 years after it opened, beer is going to be sold in Astroworld during Oktoberfest. As an adult, I can only imagine this would be a sea change in the operation. But due to the sales on Oktoberfest, they're going to start selling beer throughout the year. Price is now $16.95.
In 70s money.
This is 70s money. $16.95. If you wanted to go to the park and the roller coasters,
mm-hmm.
or you could just go to the shows for $9.95.
Oh, so it's not all included.
No. Mm. And we're going to start to see a pattern, friends. In exclusivity and the incorporation of inclusivity.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
Exclusivity. Yeah.
We're going to see Waterworld in 1982. Waterworld was just it's a water theme, water park.
Which makes perfect sense in Houston. It's hot.
Well, here's the thing, and I remember this as a kid. For $60 as a kid, you could get an all pass, 3 months in the summer, $30 for Astroworld, $30 for Waterworld. You could literally just go back and forth because that's what happened. Parents drop you off for the day. There's your season pass. Have fun. Don't get shot. More on that in a second. So, Waterworld opens in 1982, but what's happening on the Texas scene is changing. Now, remember, there's already a Six Flags in Arlington, mm-hmm. when Six Flags buys Astroworld. But 1982 sees Waterworld. San Antonio opens SeaWorld in 1988.
Yeah.
Sorry. Which is just another tourist draw. This period, 84 to 86, marks the first decline in Astroworld. And this is just going through the research, not really from memory, because I wasn't there 5 years before I was born.
Sure.
Warner Brothers is going to take over everything. And I remember this. I literally remember showing up at Astroworld one summer, and Bugs Bunny was there, and I don't remember Bugs Bunny being here. 1986 is also going to see, well, the first gunshot victim at Astroworld.
Let's save that. Let's talk a little bit more about Warner Brothers.
And well, hang on. Fright Night was huge, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Fright Night was huge. For those that remember, there wasn't really no other experience that you needed to enjoy other than trick-or-treating on Halloween, besides going to Fright Night.
Maybe a JC Haunted House.
You got Fright Night, man. That's what it was. It was a giant theme park haunted house. It was so cool. And they had Freddy Krueger.
And they did it before Universal Studios did, because theirs was pretty well known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're not comparing.
No.
Not a competition. Texas wins.
So Freddy Krueger, I thought that was New Line Cinema, but I guess maybe that's a subsidiary of Warner Bros.
Yeah. I would assume that there's going to be, like, all the lawyers that are involved in this part in entertainment, I can't imagine that that would happen without.
It's not a horror movie podcast, although we should do that one day.
Yeah, we should totally do that. So, that's 86. And I'm going to end 86. I'm going to end the 76 to 86 phase with a gunshot, because that's going to be the Astroworld that I really grew up with.
All right.
Yeah.
Was that dark? Tell us about this gunshot. Within limits.
Well, 17-year-old was shot in the mouth. Which gun control, oddly, in the state of Texas, nobody had thought about people bringing guns into a theme park. So now we have to introduce a whole nother level of security. We're going to have bags checked. We're going to have metal detectors. We are going to introduce fear into fun all at the same time. And I don't mean Fright Night.
And not that fun Halloween.
Not that fun, yeah.
So, this is going to have a ripple effect, this new policy, which makes total sense. There's been a horrible, violent crime. But there's going to be unintended consequences of this new policy, yes?
And just for me, just in my head, I see that 76 to 86 period as the golden age. I'm saying it's golden age because everything after that was a period of decline. So this brings us to 1986 to 1998, where nothing makes sense, but yet it all seems to make sense. Astroworld's becoming dangerous. I remember this fear. You don't want to be at Astroworld at night. You want to be there during the day. Whenever the sun starts going down, that's when you want to leave. Because it's not in the greatest area of Houston.
610 and Fannin, roughly.
610 and Fannin, yeah, don't go down Fannin.
To quote Tom Waits, the great singer-songwriter Tom Waits, writing about Fannin Street, just says, don't go down to Fannin Street, you'll never turn around. And that's where you have a family-friendly amusement park.
Now, yes, let's pull our scope up a little bit and kind of look at what Houston has going on in that area in the years between 86 and 98. The Astros are going to leave.
Yep.
They're going to go to Tennessee. Man, they're going to be the Tennessee Oilers.
Oilers.
They were the Tennessee Oilers.
You said Astros.
Did I say Astros?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Well, the Oilers are going to leave.
Yep.
They're going to go to Tennessee and become the Tennessee Oilers. And, well, more on that at another episode. The Astros are going to threaten to move if they don't get a new ballpark because no one wants to play in the Astrodome. Josh, have you ever been in the Astrodome?
Sadly, no.
Okay. I've been there for games. I've been there for rodeo. And I think Craig Biggio called it best. Craig Biggio said the Astrodome is like an old car. It's dependable, and it'll get you there. But you're not really going to have a whole lot of fun doing it. I'm mixing that quote up. I think he said...
You got the gist of it.
Yeah. You got the point. Literally, AstroTurf. It's a thin line of carpet on concrete. Let's play sports here.
Ruins the athlete's feet.
Ruins knees. Everything. I mean, there's a whole thing about Pittsburgh Field, or where the Steelers played. Yeah.
Where the Steelers played.
No, where the Phillies first played.
Okay.
Three Rivers?
That sounds right.
Three Rivers, Cincinnati. Anyway.
Where the Phillies played.
The deleterious effects of, playing sports on concrete.
Especially a contact sport.
Especially a contact sport. So the Oilers say they're going to leave, and they left. The Astros say they're going to leave, and City of Houston gets together and said, well, the Sports Authority says, okay, we'll build you a new park. So they build them a new park in downtown, which is fantastic. Now it's Daikin Park.
Yeah.
It used to be Minute Maid Park.
It's going to take me a couple years to get used to
that. The original name of the place was the ballpark at Union Station, because there was a train station there anyway. So now we're taking out the Astrodome. We're taking out the significance of the Astrodome, which the only reason, if you remember, the only reason the Astroworld exists is to pay for the Astrodome. It's circular economy. Like, if this succeeds, this succeeds, then this should succeed, and all of the tertiary things will succeed as well. Not so much. I called 76 to 86 the Golden Age, and everything after that a decline. Gangs started showing up to Astroworld. Like I told you, you know, when I was younger, like in the 80s, we knew you don't want to be in Astroworld at night.
No.
Gangs started showing up, and this is going to lead to a complete ban on guns in the park, which sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There shouldn't be guns in a park.
We shouldn't have to come up with laws that say, no, we don't need a gun here.
This is already a rule.
It should be understood, but anyway, this is Texas. But the problem is undercover officers, at least in the city of Houston, I think in the state of Texas, but at least in the city of Houston, undercover officers are required to wear their firearm with them at all times.
And off duty.
Including off duty.
Yeah.
So there's pushback. There was a San Antonio police group that pushed back and said, okay, fine, we won't send anybody there anymore.
And this is a Six Flags rule across the board.
I can't speak to that. I can say that this is an Astroworld rule.
Okay.
So what happens then is, well, the police commissioner of the city of Houston says, okay, fine, we won't provide any more work. It's like a guarantee to work right for off-duty police officers to work security at Astroworld.
Because a lot of officers will do side gigs doing security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they're going to get pulled. So let's just put this all together in a 2 + 2 = 5. You all right?
You're good.
There's a gun problem at Astroworld. So we're going to remove all the guns, including those that are licensed and trained and capable to carry firearms. And as a result of that, Houston police are going to remove all police officers from Astroworld. It's like the Cobra solution.
Yes, the Cobra effect, which is one of my favorite historical things that we can talk about at length at another time. Google Cobra effect.
But this is the solution to the problem, and as a result of the solution, there will be no law enforcement there whatsoever. This is the state of affairs of Astroworld. Also, in the state, Fiesta Texas is going to open in San Antonio in 1992, mm-hmm. 4 years after SeaWorld opens. Six Flags sells Astroworld at the end of 1991. Sells Astroworld at the end of 1991 while the Astroworld is $610 million in debt.
In early 90s money.
And this is early 90s money. Are we seeing a pattern here, friends? I hate to use my teacher speak, but are we seeing a pattern? This is going to be the true start of the end for Astroworld.
The long, slow decline.
Speaking of long and slow and decline, let me tell you my story about Batman the Escape, 1993.
So Warner Bros. Buys it.
Warner Bros. still has entertainment rights and merchandising rights for Astroworld. So they've got the Batman ride, Batman Escape. And I never rode the ride, Josh. Literally one day I finagled a trip to Astroworld just so I could go to the Batman the Escape ride.
I couldn't get on.
Because the wait was 6 hours long at 10 in the morning.
Thank God they had that outdoor AC.
Yeah, well, here's what they did, because the days of the outdoor AC are long gone. Here's what they did. They created a very small ride that will have high traffic in a small enclosed area, and then built the line to be air conditioned. So whenever you'd walk in to the ride, you have to walk through Penguin's Ice House or the Penguin's Arctic World, something like that. And immediately air conditioned. And then you make your way through that into another tunnel and air conditioning. So you're gonna wait 6 hours to ride this ride, but you'll be cool the entire time. You don't have to worry about that July heat.
And that's the only ride you're gonna have time to do.
That's the only thing you're going to be able to do at that park if you got there first thing in the morning.
And it's less than a minute ride.
It was less than a minute ride.
That's not 6 hours worth of fun.
6 hours is almost a work day.
I could have more fun in 6 hours just sitting on my couch.
I could have more fun in 6 hours letting YouTube's algorithm entertain me than I could. I mean,
we could watch the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy.
No, we couldn't.
We get close.
No.
Fair enough.
Yeah. We could watch? Hmm. We could watch all three Batman movies.
Including the best one.
The one with Val Kilmer?
Is that Val Kilmer?
Batman or George Clooney?
George Clooney.
Yeah, the George Clooney
movie. The third one.
The one where he played Batman.
Where you got the Riddler, Jim Carrey's the Riddler.
Oh, side note, friends. Clooney played Batman gay in that movie. Okay, so now we come to our final stage of Astroworld. The end.
Dang. I wanted to say it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No. You can edit this out.
No. We go.
1998 to 2005, also known as
the long, slow decline.
The end. So Astroworld, that started off as a statement, a slice of life in the mind of and imagination of Roy Hoffhans, has now become a corporate.
It's become very corporate.
That's going to get cut. Corporate. FastPass is going to kill the everyman. Are you familiar with FastPass?
As a Floridian, I know these things. Yes.
Okay. So FastPass is you buy this extraordinarily high-priced ticket that gets you front-of-the-line access. They introduced FastPass in 1998. That thus kills the everyman journey of going to Astroworld.
A regular family can't afford it.
A regular family's not going to
afford
it.
And it's dangerous.
And that's what it's there for. It's there for the families. The entire park is there for family experience. The park in this period, 98 to 05, will become a machine for Warner Bros. Rides are closed. If you go to the park on any day where everything should be running, functioning normally, a third of the rides are going to be closed just for maintenance reasons or staffing reasons or this, that, and the other. It's like when you start seeing the broken windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reliant Stadium is going to be the death knell for Astroworld, and it really all comes down to parking.
And so, just for context, Reliant Stadium, after the Oilers left, we finally get a new team, the Texans, which we can talk about how bland that name is later.
Should have been the Apollos. Should have been the Wildcatters.
But they move into Reliant Stadium, which now NRG Stadium, and it's going to have a ripple effect for Astroworld.
Well, this was the area, thank you, Josh, this is the area where people parked. You parked around the Astrodome and then either walked or took a tram or they had this bus that looked like a caboose that would take you from your parking, you know, to the park and then, you know, back vice versa. But there's this thing that we really haven't talked about much and its cultural impact on the area. Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Which is Houston's amusement park.
Which is Houston's amusement park for, what, 6 weeks a year?
We'll do an episode about it.
All right. Excuse me. Well, here's the thing. The Astrodome is still being used by the rodeo. Reliant is going to be used by the rodeo. Reliant houses the Houston Texans, which they play football at.
And 7 times a year at home.
So this area that is parking for Astroworld is now no longer going to be parking for Astroworld. So if you want to go to Astroworld, you got to park farther away and figure it out.
Or take the Metro Rail.
Or don't take the Metro Rail. Don't take it. Just don't take it. No. Don't take it there. Or at least drive there, then take the Metro Rail.
Get off on the Midtown exit.
So the parking issue, if there was a problem at Astroworld with attendance, it's only going to be deleteriously impacted by people having to park farther away. But it's okay, because the Texans are playing. And they were really, really good early on. Just ask David Carson concussions. the parking lease actually ended in 2005. Mm. The Texans were born in 2002, I think, was their inaugural season.
Or 3, something like that.
So these parking issues are really going to kill Astroworld, because if people can't park, why would they even go there to begin with?
It's already in a bad part of town.
And
the tickets are already too expensive.
This part of town has become increasingly... Josh, you lived there, didn't you?
Yeah, I lived right off of Holly Hall. I moved in there when I first moved to town. I lived there for a month. My car got broken into. I would not take a kid down that part of town.
Okay. I don't want to say anything negative about anyone living in that area, but, you know...
Rent's cheap.
Thank you. Rent's cheap. Okay, so let's now introduce real estate and Dan Snyder. And we're going to end on this part But if fans aren't familiar, Dan Snyder was the owner of the Washington Redskins.
And now the Nationals.
And now the...
Nationals, right?
No, I think they're the Commanders.
It's a stupid name.
No, seriously, no. Washington Nationals is the baseball
team. They're not called that thing anymore.
The Washington Nationals are the baseball club that used to be the Montreal Expos.
Sorry. The Washington football team.
It's Guardians, or is that Cleveland baseball?
It's a very bland name. And we watch football.
Anyway. Yeah, it's on right now, as a matter of fact. So Dan Snyder comes up with this idea, and I remember hearing this. How much is that real estate worth? How much is that land worth? It's got to be worth millions of dollars. It's got to be worth more than the existing property is worth. So Dan Snyder comes in, buys up 49% of the market, I'm sorry, of the share, and sells Astroworld, sells the land for $77 million, which is half of what the asking price was. So clearly Dan Snyder's an idiot.
I would just like to add,
for other reasons,
like we made jokes about the neighborhood. This is still 5-minute drive from downtown.
5 minutes. Yeah.
This could get built into something.
It's almost like 288 existed only to take people by the Astrodome and Astroworld.
Yeah. You're right near Rice University. It can be a nice neighborhood if someone knew what they had some vision.
So it sold for, I'm sorry, I think I misspoke. It was sold for $74 million.
All right.
And then it was demolished. Then it was torn down. Texas Cyclone, torn down, demolished. Cars sold, never used. The Grease Lightning, torn down, moved, sat in storage for 6 years, never built again, sold for scrap. Excalibur, sold. Well, the cars were sold, the track itself, torn down, sold for scrap. And I say it that way because it's childhood, sold for scrap. The Warp 2000 ride, if you remember the Warp 10 ride, it was rebranded the Warp 2000 ride. Became actually part of a barrier reef in Clute, Texas.
That was the most interesting thing I learned about what happened to these rides.
Seriously. It was originally named Challenger, but then renamed after the Obviously. Challenger explosion. And is now a barrier reef in a lake in Clute, Texas. And Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, the rap singer. He's a hip-hop guy, right?
He's a musician.
He wrote an album called Astroworld, which was like a... And I want to talk about the nostalgia from the Astroworld here at the end, if we can.
Sure.
And he's a perfect example. Despite all these things we said, we're having a little fun. There's a lot of warm memories for Astroworld.
I have hundreds of them, Josh.
Including, Travis Scott. You said Kendrick Lamar.
Said Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah.
Was it Travis Scott or Kendrick Lamar?
It was Travis Scott.
Okay, as long as it's not Drake.
It wasn't Drake. He's from Canada.
Travis Scott.
Yeah. He crushed it.
That is how.
Oh, too soon.
Gotta get in trouble for that one.
You got one, I got one.
Yeah. Anyway.
But no, I was talking to my wife about this. I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I'm just like, what's your favorite thing about Astroworld? And she's like, it was the Fright Night. And there was the dog costume, best dog costume. You could bring your dog. And there was a dog trick contest. She won that a couple times. She got free tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
Right on.
And I've reached out for other people about their memories, and we could do a part two with just fond memories of Astroworld, if there was an interest. If you email us at htownrewind@gmail.com.
Seriously, man, if we come back to this in 6 months and just talk about Astroworld memories, I am perfectly fine with that. We almost had a guest sing the Astroworld tune on commercials.
Would you indulge us?
I'm not going to say this person's name because I said I won't say this person's name, but we were never close to getting her to sing the Astroworld song.
Would you sing it?
No. If she won't, I won't. No, I stand firm on this.
Oh, come on, be a good sport.
I stand as firm on this as Dan Snyder stands on ruining everything he invests in.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Washington Redskins fans, I'm talking to you right now. But, man, okay, this is what the Astroworld was. The Astroworld was summer. The Astroworld was adventure. The Astroworld was having to sit through that musical because your mom took you and you hate musicals, and she knows you hate musicals, but she hates roller coasters. So if she's going to get on that roller coaster with you, partner, you are going to that musical.
Same thing happened to me at Disney World. Mom hated the haunted house ride. I wanted to go on the haunted house ride, and then she got to do what she wanted after that.
These things happen. We live in a real world. But man, Astroworld was so much fun. Like, I remember going through Excalibur, and at one part, you literally went through a storage warehouse where you saw other roller coaster rides. And I remember thinking to myself at like 8, 7, 6, like, Well, this kind of sucks. Like, they couldn't have put anything else in here other than storage.
Breaks the fourth wall a bit.
A little bit. But that was, man, so much fun at that place. So much fun at Astroworld. And I know you guys had fun at Astroworld, too. And it's the memory.
David, do you think Houston will ever get another proper amusement park?
Man, I was about to nail something.
I am so sorry.
No. Can I go back?
Sure.
Okay. It's the memory. It's the childhood memory of absolute unbridled fun. It's the memory of I can go to Astroworld in the morning and I can go to Waterworld in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everything that is childhood and summer and fun all rolled into one theme park. And that's my memory of Astroworld.
And now it is nothing but
my memories. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we can top that ending, David.
I know.
Well, this has been Josh.
And David.
This has been H-Town Rewind. I'll say it one more time. You can email us with ideas, your memories about Astroworld at htownrewind, @gmail.com. And we'll see you next time.
Hope so. Hope so. Have a great day, guys. Have a great week.
Go Astros.
Go Astros. Now we talk. Yeah. Oh, you better walk right. And you better not squabble. And you better not fight. Best Bronco will arrest you. Hit it, boom, and take it down. You can bet your bottom dollar that your sugar land ball is a nice.